Welcome to Tech Talk, y'all.
Hey, and welcome to Tech Talk, y'all, season 11, episode 276. I'm Sanjay Parekh.
And I'm Adam Walker. This episode is brought to you by our companies, togetherletters.com and edgewise.media, because, well, they're awesome. So.
I like that premise.
I didn't want to say anything else. Like, I don't feel like there's any more explanation needed. That's the whole explanation right there.
I wonder if people think, like, why did they get the .com on one and the .media on the other? Because we're awesome. Yeah, that's why. You should go to both of those websites and you'll understand why. One is a .com and a .media. Yeah. Actually, I don't think we explained why that is.
No, it's all right. It's a media company-ish.
Exactly.
All right. In this episode, look, we got a lot. We're going to cover a lot. And it's a lot of like randomish stuff, honestly. There's no like solid themes in this episode, which is kind of great. But we're going to cover Apple, Twitter, Meta, Microsoft, Princeton Engineering, some UK data center startup wackiness, DuckDuckGo. And of course, we got weird and wacky. We have four weird and wacky for you. One includes AI, one includes space. So, I mean, just stay tuned. It's going to be great. And then, of course, at the end, TechRex, you're going to want that.
I think the benefit of this kind of jam-packed episode of just randomness is there is not a block of Elon stories this week. So,
no, really not. No, just like one, really.
Kind of touch on it, maybe kind of a little bit on that one, but that's
You're welcome. Yeah, you're welcome.
There you go.
All right, let's dive in. Apple will launch its standalone classical music app on March 28th. And I got to be honest, I'm not sure what I think about this. Like this... Do we need an app for one genre of music? That seems very strange to me. Does it seem strange to you? Am I missing something here?
It seems like if I were going to ask for a standalone app for a thing that's audio,
right,
it would actually be stand-up comedy.
Yeah.
I've had this problem with Spotify where I will like tracks from comedians. And then suddenly Spotify decides like, oh, you like this. I'm just going to mix it into your other things and random.
Yes.
You know, when you're listening to music like that's not the same thing.
That's
like,
not the, no, you
how,
can't do
how
that.
How does it not understand like these two things are totally different?
Yeah.
Like if I liked an audiobook, would you suddenly in the middle of me listening to music, start playing me an audiobook? Like that's
I think
weird.
So. Yeah. That's what would happen. Yeah.
No.
Tale of Two Cities. That's what it would start with. just right in the middle of you. You're listening to Surfaces. And then the next track is Tale of Two Cities. And then 5 hours later, however many hours later, then you can listen to more Surfaces. That's how it works.
Snoop Dogg, Drop It Like It's Hot. You know? it's like, what? Right? These things don't go. Now, if it was music that was related to the audiobook that you just listened to, then maybe I would get it. Yeah, the classical genre, like one app for that seems weird.
Very strange. I will look at it. But then I'll tell you, like, I don't really listen to that much classical music. So, like, I don't see the use case for this for the vast majority of people either. So I don't understand. I don't get it, but hey, more power to you, you know, whatever.
I mean, I definitely dig some instrumental pop, right? Like these orchestras that will play pop songs.
Yeah, I can see that.
With an orchestra and then you don't have the lyrics and you can just have it play in the background.
So Drop It Like It's Hot, but as an orchestra?
Exactly.
That's what you want? Okay.
Exactly. I want to hear Drop It Like It's Hot on trumpets. You know, I wonder if we could
more
do
more violins, but whatever, man. I mean, you do you. You know,
I mean,
that's
cool. Okay, I feel like Snoop Dogg
lends itself more to violins. Like that's all
you
I'm trying to
so?
Say. Yeah,
yeah.
So
I wonder if this is something we can ask ChatGPT to like play us a song. You know, Drop It Like It's Hot with violins and trumpets. I wonder if it could make that for us. That would be kind of awesome. but what is awesome is what scientists are doing right now. They've found a way to suck up carbon pollution, turning it into baking soda and storing it in the oceans. What I don't understand in this story is why are they just not baking a bunch of cakes and letting us all eat it? Like, that's, I think, a better way of storing baking soda.
Or when you say storing it in the oceans, what is that? Like, does that mean you're dumping baking soda in the oceans? Like, what does storing it in the oceans mean exactly?
Yeah, I didn't fully understand that, but it feels like that because in one place they say, hey, if we started dumping this, placing it in the ocean, it could be toxic and then that would violate international regulations about dumping in the ocean, which
I feel like this article just takes the word dumping and inserts the word storing instead, because storing is like neutral and dumping is like, you know, not neutral. And so, it feels like a little wordsmithing there. I don't know. Maybe not. I could be wrong.
It's too bad Ted Stevens didn't realize this. And instead of talking about dumping stuff and dump trucks on the internet and tubes,
storing stuff on the internet,
storing stuff on the internet,
which would have been at least close to correct. So, So it's
a lot closer.
A little closer to correct. All right. Well, next up, speaking of not correct, good grief.
Dumping on the internet.
Dumping on the internet. Twitter's $42,000 per month API price is out nearly everyone, because who in their right mind would ever pay that per month for access to Twitter's API? That's the last part was mine, by the way. I mean,
that was Adam's subtitled for this article.
Yeah. I mean, goodness, that's insane. I don't have the words. I really
I don't understand. I don't understand. I think that's just it. I think there's actually not second part.
What I want to know is where does that number come from exactly? It's not 40,000, it's 42,000. There's the power of the non-round number, but why not 4283?
It does start with a 420, which is his favorite number. Oh,
that's it. That's got to be it.
So I will say that. So maybe that, because 4,200 was maybe not enough. So 42,000.
That's probably.
Has anybody actually even pointed this out? I don't know if anybody has, because he's
such
just
a child.
I mean, over it at this point.
Such a man child.
It's a shame.
Yeah.
Seeing the destruction of a property that really helped propel humanity for quite some time, right? Exposed news and things like that, and just in the hands of the wrong person, just destroyed it.
So. Yeah, we got to move on, because that will lament that all day long. So, what's next, Sanjay?
Talking about what else is being destroyed. Ooh. Meta winds down support for NFTs on Instagram and Facebook because nobody's using them.
So hold on. Who saw that coming? Oh yeah, it was us. That was us. We saw that coming. That's right. Yes, we saw that coming. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay.
You're welcome. I hope you bet on that on some marketplace somewhere, because you would have made money on us.
Come on, man. I mean,
there you go.
The fact that they even bothered to spin it up in the first place is just kind of silly. Like, come on. Obviously, it wasn't going to go anywhere, but whatever.
This is just one after that, right? We've talked about the CNN one, them being like, this was a test. Thanks for all the money. This thing, digital art just is not there. It's not a thing that people really
just not their thing.
Care about, right?
Like, not yet. At least not at the moment.
Yeah, maybe one day. Maybe it'll become a thing, but it's not there yet.
Speaking of things that people don't care about, Microsoft Teams will let... Sorry, that was a good transition, right? Microsoft Teams will let you transform into a 3D avatar in May. So you can be a 3D avatar not yourself, but a 3D avatar. And apparently the avatar will try to smile, when it thinks you sound happy and all of the things, and show emote. It'll try to emote. It'll emote for you. And this just feels tragically, tragically wrong to me. I don't like this at all.
So. This feels like it's going to be like me when we play Fortnite together, mm-hmm. and I accidentally start doing Gungam style when I was trying to do something else on my controller.
That's what this feels like. Yes.
It's going to start emoting when I don't mean to do that. And it's going to be inappropriate and just not right.
Yeah, I mean, I don't remember exactly what the criteria of it is, but I can see this future where you're having this very serious conversation and you sound very heavy, and your little avatar smiling and happy and just all the wrong emotions all happening at once. I'm sorry to tell you.
And then it's smiling away super excited.
I'm sorry to tell you with a big smile on my face, but we're downsizing. There's going to be downsizing. There's rumors of downsizing. No, there's no downsizing. No, there is downsizing. So sorry, I'm just channeling Michael Scott for a minute there.
The Nashua branch. Yeah.
The Nashua branch. The story. Oh my gosh.
Next up, and this is interesting, but it's a little bit scary news.
Right. Yeah.
This is from Princeton Engineering. Researchers shrink camera to the size of a grain of salt. So goodbye, privacy.
Well, now really all that means is all the really creepy Airbnb and Vrbo owners now just have all kinds of new opportunities. I mean, I guess they're not out to the public yet, right? But if that's what's coming, man, it's bad news all around. So.
I will tell you, they've got some very interesting applications for this. The possibility to thread cameras into the human body in places and ways that are not as obtrusive as other camera systems today.
You mean right? like the ones that are really big on the ends of poles that they stick up places, like that one? Is that what you mean?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, got it. Yeah,
exactly.
Okay. I just want to make sure.
But I mean, think about it. Like, you could now use a camera, like maybe in your ear, and be able to really get in there and see kind of anything that's going on from the perspective of being inside of the ear, not just like right now they look from the outside.
So you're like Ant-Man, is what you're saying.
You're like Ant-Man.
You're basically Ant-Man at this point.
This is like a full-size Polaroid camera for Ant-Man.
Okay.
Is what they've created.
So like the next, like when did the super strength happen is really what I need to know. Like that's...
Well, you don't want that to happen inside the ear because then that'll kill you probably, right? Because it'll just blow up your head. I don't want Ant-Man in my ear.
That's not what you want in your ear. No. That's not. All right. Next up, it sure seems like Amazon is making a new web browser. So there's been kind of some marginal evidence sort of floating around that maybe they're making a web browser. And the real question is, why? Why? Like, why?
I mean, look, there are definitely some good alternative browsers out there. What I'll be interested to see. So they used to have their own browser, Silk.
Yeah,
that was included in the Kindle tablet.
It was,
I think.
Yeah. No, right? it was the tablet, I think, and on the Kindle itself. Yeah,
and the on the Kindle. And yeah. Actually, if you remember, they had a phone too, and we actually had one of those phones.
I did too. Yeah,
and it had that Silk browser as well. And they did some interesting things. They accelerated your web browsing by using all the computers they had at AWS to fetch stuff for you and compress it and deliver it faster and kind of help speed up that process. But I'm interested to see in how they're going to develop this. Is it going to be just yet another skin on top of Chrome or Chromium?
Probably.
If so, it's less interesting to me.
Yeah, what's the point?
I think it's more useful in terms of developing web technologies if they actually, from the ground up, build a whole new browser, whole new engine, whole everything.
True.
And try to fix some of these things that some of the other engines don't do as well. Because I think that could actually help propel web technologies forward.
Okay. I'll give you that. All right.
But I don't know if they're going to do that.
At the same time, though, let me simple question here, Sanjay.
Yeah.
Would you ever, ever, ever use a web browser developed by Amazon?
Yeah, I might.
Really?
Yeah.
I would assume they'd be harvesting so much data from that. You'd be like, no.
Oh. Let me be clear. It would not be my main browser because Firefox will remain cemented there.
Yeah.
Okay. I would use it on the side for other things every now and again.
Oh, okay. Got it.
Like I do have to still use Chrome, the platform that we actually record this podcast on.
That's true. That's true.
I have to have Chrome for that.
Fair
so
enough.
I've got other browsers installed. So I'm not saying that I'd never do it. What I'd probably never do is Microsoft Edge. But
amen to that.
Come out for Linux.
All right. Next up. Hilariously sad, my great mobile provider Mint will sell to T-Mobile. So Mint is that mobile phone company, $15 a month, partially owned, largely owned, I think 25% owned by Ryan Reynolds, who I'm a big fan of, man. He's doing some crazy stuff. Great
stuff. Is that what it is? It's 25% owned?
Yeah, the article said 25%. I think they're going to sell for like $2 billion. So he's doing all right.
I think it's like 1.4, 1.6 billion.
Yeah, he's doing fine. He's doing good.
Yeah. He owns a soccer team too, right?
And yeah, he's also got a soccer team. It was only a couple million they used to buy into that soccer team. And then he's got a soccer team. He had Aviation Gen. That one sold and they made a lot of money on that. He's got Mint Mobile. Then he's also got a production company that does like commercials and video production stuff. And they do amazing stuff. It's fantastic. So
I think he's got
a software on top of all that too to see the performance of commercials on different platforms, which is kind of interesting. So yeah, he's if you're not a Ryan Reynolds fan, like he's as serious an entrepreneur as he is an actor, which is pretty profound. So there you go.
Yeah. That's good stuff.
Yeah.
Good for him. Next up, and this one I thought was super fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
Because why not?
Mm-hmm.
In the UK, a data center startup is offering to heat Britain's swimming pools with waste heat.
Great.
Yeah.
That's great. That seems like a great, like, put 100%. A data center and take the waste heat and heat up a pool. That's perfect. Let's do that.
Yeah. So they were talking about a bunch of these pools were on the verge of having to close down because it's so expensive to heat because the price of energy has gone up so much in the last few years.
Right.
And so data centers, bunch of computers, all generating heat. You don't need the heat there. You want to get rid of the heat. And so they figured out a way to pipe that heat into swimming pools.
So how, like I'm assuming that the data center is somehow near the swimming pool then? Like, it's got to be relatively close by, right? To pipe it in?
Relatively close. Okay. Not like next door, but right. Yeah. Okay. You're not trucking that heat over because that's just not how it works.
Get out of the way. Heat truck coming through. Heat truck. Get out of the way. It's hot. Heat truck.
you have to have a police transport. It's the heat truck. And again, the Snoop Dogg song "Drop It While It's Hot" comes up again.
It continues to come back to mind. It really does.
The heat truck is coming through. Yeah,
the heat truck is coming through. All right. Next up, DuckDuckGo's building AI generated answers into his search engine because obviously it's going to like everybody's got to at this point. Like, you can't not do that now. It is the thing. It's going to continue to be the thing. There you go.
Speaking of, we didn't
tag an article about it, but I did want to mention this. So GPT-4, just came out this week. And I don't know if you saw, but GPT-3 apparently took the bar exam, the legal bar exam, and got in the bottom 10% of the bar exam. GPT-4 got in the top 10% for taking the bar. So the GPT-4 can pass the bar is what it's telling us. So. Yep. That's just, oh my God, that's insane.
Yeah. So. And they haven't really explained what the difference is between these two versions. So it's a little disconcerting.
I'll tell you, I listened to an interview with the head of OpenAI, and he even said, he's a little scared of this technology. And he's like, honestly, if I wasn't a little scared of this technology, like, you probably should be very worried that I'm behind it. You know, like, he's even a little. Like, it's gonna be great. It's gonna create jobs, but it is scary. It's a scary technology in many ways. So
yeah, it's I've seen articles where people hand draw, like, hey, create this web page based on this drawing, and spits out the code. Does it.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
So it's coming for everybody.
It's crazy. So
yeah.
All right. What's up?
Next up, future NASA moonwalkers to sport sleeker spacesuits. These look kind of awesome, don't they?
Yeah, they look pretty good. I mean, it's not like the old school, stark white spacesuit. It's got some style to it. It looks a little less bulky, maybe more flexible. So, I mean,
ones they're going to deliver are going to be all white.
Oh, okay.
Or mostly white. There'll be color on them, but they'll be white.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize that. Okay. I missed that. The guy in the first picture on the thing looks like he's setting up for a layup. He's got his hand in that poised position. So obviously you can shoot basketball in these, which is great. I'm all about shooting some ball in spacesuits.
When we landed on the moon, the golf thing. Yeah, that was not your.
I mean, listen, bag. Golf on the moon. It's been done. Been done. But basketball on the moon. That's a whole new avenue. So I think
wasn't that a movie, Space Jam or something like that?
Was it on the moon? I don't remember where.
I don't know. I never
watched Space Jam. I could not bring myself to watch it. So couldn't do it. All right. Well, moving on. Ember, company that I love, Ember, is in the baby bottle.
That's why I tagged this article, by the way.
I know.
Ember's in the, I know you're such a fan.
They're in the baby bottle business now. So the cup that will keep your coffee warm for like a long time, and it will even alert you on your phone when your coffee is at the correct temperature that you prefer to drink it, which I don't personally use that. I just use it to keep my cup warm because why not? But they're going to do baby bottles. It looks pretty cool, man. Like, it basically says, like, it'll let you know when the bottle is at the right temperature for your kid. And it seems to even let you know when they're going to, like, when the baby is, like, how much they've had, like how much they drink out of the bottle.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah.
It looked like it was going to show that. I mean, now this might be all theoretical at this point. I'm not sure, but it looks pretty interesting. I mean, if I was a parent, I'd get an Ember bottle for sure.
So the only comment my wife made, I told her about this. She was like, well, hopefully it stays connected to the app because hers does not. She has to keep repairing it all the time, and it annoys her to no end.
Okay. I don't even use the Ember app anymore. I just set it because I set the temperature that I want my coffee at. Once it's set, the cup just holds that setting, and then I never open the app again. I don't even think the app's downloaded on my phone anymore.
Yeah, so. I think for some reason hers, the Cup forgets. Can a cup forget things? I don't know.
Gotcha.
I don't know. And then she has to reset the temperature. And
that would be annoying.
Then she gets kind of annoyed by that. So I don't know if the baby's going to be able to tell you that, hey, this is the wrong temperature, but it is what it is. And last up, maybe this is also part of Skynet. I don't know. I'm hoping not. But at least in the interim, it is helping us out. TSA is using artificial intelligence to reduce unnecessary pat downs. And I am all for reducing unnecessary pat downs at the airport.
Yeah.
So basically what they've done is they have implemented some artificial intelligence inside of their body scanners. Because the problem is, the reason why you're getting unnecessary pat downs is that if the person running the machine misidentified your gender, so said you were a man when you were a woman or a woman when you're a man.
Right.
And then also you have this issue with trans folks and non-binary and folks like that.
Right.
You would end up getting sent off to do pat downs. And so the artificial intelligence is actually better, no surprise, than the humans in figuring out how to scan people based on what their gender actually is. And
okay.
Making sure that there's not extra pat downs because of that. So
less pat downs is always a win.
I mean, that saves money and less labor and less annoyance.
And less awkwardness for other folks.
For everybody involved.
Time for the Weird and Wacky segment.
Abominable Snowman.
He's not an axe murderer.
One of the TAs turned out to be a bot.
All right, it's Weird and Wacky Town. We have four articles for you, like I mentioned earlier. And this first one is kind of fascinating. Should we automate the CEO? And it's an article about a software company. It's actually part of a larger company, but it's a company within a company, a smaller segment of the company. And they put an AI in the CEO seat, and that company outperformed the market with the decisions that that CEO AI made, which is, I don't even know what to say about that. Like, amazing and terrifying at the same time. So
this is kind of like that story that we talked about last week or the week before about Dude Perfect, where they don't have a CEO or leader.
Yeah.
It's just like this collection of people.
Yeah.
Just doing things.
Yeah.
I wonder if they had a AI CEO, if they would do better.
I mean, Dude Perfect, they're building a theme park, so they're doing all right. But maybe with an AI CEO, they do even better. The article is interesting because it basically pointed out that the role of a CEO is essentially to evaluate how things are going and what strategic turns the company needs to take in order to continue growth. And so there's a lot of like data, not data crunching, but like report validation and like synthesizing data and where do we want to go. And the point was that that's perfect for an AI to take in data and understand what the best next step will be.
Yeah.
And that's one of the main purposes of a CEO, which is true.
Yeah. I think the problem here is when things go wrong, you can't put an AI CEO in front of the press to be like, sorry, I analyzed that wrong. like, that's not going to work.
Is that your robot AI voice?
Pretty much. Yeah. Yeah. That's when I have to, like when I call into the bank and they
analyze that wrong.
when I call into the bank and they're giving me a AI to talk to, that's the voice I use to talk.
Well, I mean, funny. Like that's what we normally think of as AIs is like the bank prompts that you call that are terrible and like the worst thing ever. So like, you got bank prompts that can't get anything. You can't even find a person. And like, now we're going to have a CEO that's like, okay. Let's try that. Yeah. Let's see what happens.
I think what this should really become is something that assists the CEO,
right?
Helps them do their job better, and they can focus on not having to crunch numbers and analyze data and instead really do higher level stuff.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
And as we're automating these CEOs, we got to store that data somewhere, and researchers might have figured out where to store that. So researchers think alien civilizations might be creating black holes to store quantum data. So apparently we need to start creating black holes around us
to store quantum data. Because you can apparently store quantum data in a black hole. And the theory... And
as long as you don't fall into it, you're good.
The theory in the article is you could store quantum data in a black hole and it would give you like exponentially more storage space because it's, a black hole. Well, if this is true, then wouldn't aliens create black holes to store data and therefore... Could black holes be created by alien civilizations to store data in, which I think is a little bit of a jump. Like, I'm just going to say, like, that feels like a lot of a jump, actually. But I like the idea of the clickbaity sort of thing. So, you know, whatever.
It feels like a lot of a jump. Yeah.
Yeah, it feels like a lot of a jump. Yeah.
How do you prove that even?
Well, they actually talk in the article.
People have to go into a black hole?
No, they talk in the article about reading. I forget the term they use. Let me see if I can go find it. But they talk in the article about finding like something like techno signatures in the black hole. Let's see. Where was it?
How are we going to be so smart enough to detect techno signatures from a black hole when we don't even know if this is true? One.
Right.
And two, how do you even create a black hole? We don't know how to do that ourselves.
Well, no, but we've created miniature black holes by smashing atoms together.
Miniature
stuff like
black holes that are there for like femtoseconds.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. No, so yeah, like, this I was right. It's called a techno signature. That's what it is. So as such, we should be looking for techno signatures emanating from mega structures like pulsars, white dwarf stars, and black holes. So
I just
techno signature, man. That's the
thing. Technosignature.com's already taken.
Dang.
That was going to be the new business.
Really missing out, man. All right. Well,
no signature.
Moving on. Meet the man spending 100 days underwater for science. So this will be the longest any human being has spent underwater. And he's far enough under to be pretty pressurized. Like he took like some kind of bottle of something down that was pretty crushed in to show the amount of pressure. And he was speculating that it will actually improve his health. The added pressure will help make him more healthy for some reason. I'm not entirely sure why. I don't know that.
That's like the hyperbaric chamber that Michael Jackson used to sleep in.
Yeah, maybe so. That's a good point.
Supposedly that would help. I feel like as this guy's going down or the whole time that he's under there, they should just have the Queen song Under Pressure playing on a loop.
Under Pressure.
Din, 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 din. and then he just transitioned to the Millie, not Millie Vanilli, the Vanilla Ice song. They're all from the same. The same riff.
You mean Vanilla Ice's only song? Got it. Yeah. Okay. Sorry.
I think he had more.
Yeah.
You just don't
for
know
sure
any
he did, but not ones that any of us have ever heard. So
yeah, exactly.
All right. Well
last up for Weird and Wacky, and this I don't understand at all. But the Match Group, you know, that little dating app thing that you and I have never used, their CEO says he spent $50,000 in 3 months on Clash of Clans. You're waiting for the punchline of that story to be something incredible. No, on a video game. He claims $50,000 in 3 months on a mobile video game.
Yeah. Yeah. The quote, there's a full quote in this article. So let me just read the quote for you. And then I feel like there's kind of like a read the room moment here because you know, like lots of tech layoffs and all that sort of stuff. It feels like maybe this isn't the moment to talk about you spending an average worker or way above average workers year's wages in 3 months on a video game. Like that's just feels like, anyway.
And he's like, meh, I just spend lots of money on dumb things.
Here's the quote. He says, no one plays these games forever. At a certain point, people churn out of a game experience. And what are you left with? I've personally spent $50,000 in 3 months in Clash of Clans, and I still look back at that with lots of shame. Okay, he feels shame, so that's good. I'm like, oh my God, what did I really get out of that experience? Nothing, other than like a really amazing wall, which is not cool today. So at least he feels shame about spending, you know, a decent year's salary.
It doesn't seem like he feels enough shame that he's not talking about it. Because
I feel like he needs more shame in his life, for sure. Yeah.
Really, the reason why he talked about this, because he wanted to compare it to spending money with Match.com and their sites.
Right.
Because the ROI on a video game is basically nothing. You're just losing the money.
Yeah.
Whereas if you spend it on a dating app and you find your forever spouse, the ROI is infinite.
I mean,
I guess
that's a good argument if you're not an idiot that spent $50,000 on a game in 3 months.
Right.
And if you're not the guy that's openly willing to talk about it when most any other American would be totally horrified by that statement. So
I think he could have made his point and not become ridiculed if he had adjusted the number by saying, I spent $1,000 over 3 months in Clash of Clans and I'm horrified by it.
Or he could say, I spent a lot of money. He doesn't even have to say, they don't have to say a number. You can just say a lot. And then people sort of feel, because for me, a lot of money in Clash of Clans over 3 months is $100. Like, that's a lot of money to spend over 3 months for a video game. Like, that's a lot. $50,000 is just ungodly at that point.
What I think he's trying to do is anchor and say, like, look, we only charge you like $400 to find your forever mate. Look at me. I spent $50,000. $400 is way better than $50,000.
Yeah, I feel like that attempt at anchoring is a failure of humanity right there. That's what that feels like to me. So.
Tech wreck, time to get your tech wreck.
Tech wreck, chicky, chicky.
Tech wreck, time to get your tech wreck.
All right, Sanjay, it's tech wreck time. What do you have for us this week?
I have kind of a silly site, but it's too good to pass up. It's called Dumb Password Rules, dumbpasswordrules.com. You can go in there and see 292 websites that have dumb password rules. It's funny. So they've got screenshots of these sites and just some of the dumb things that they do. Like, I think there's one that says you can't have three sequential numbers in a row. Oh man, look at this. Apple's even here. Yeah. You can't contain three or more consecutive identical characters, nor can it be longer than 32 characters long. And it's just like some of this, I was thinking about this. Some of these sites, you know what they're probably doing is that they're taking your password and just storing it in a database, because why does it have to be limited 8 to 15 characters? I think there was one site I saw in here that was, you have to have 8 to 10 character passwords. And they were chiding you and saying, like, you should really do a 10 character password because that's much stronger than a 9 or an 8 character password.
Marginally stronger.
Yeah. But really, these sites should be taking these and creating a hash out of them and storing the hash. So it doesn't matter how long your password is, because it'll always be converted into the same length hash every single time. And if they get compromised, which we know they're going to get compromised at some point.
Yep.
It wouldn't matter because the passwords aren't there. So, you know, if you ever see a site like this that's restricting you on how long the password is, you got to be a little wary. Make sure you're using a password manager. But come and look. And man, there's a lot of sites on here that I use myself. Capital One's on here. Like, man, it's a yeah, it's sad. So they GoDaddy. I just saw GoDaddy on here. Yeah, they're on there.
I wish I was surprised. I'm not.
Man, IKEA's on there. Like all these sites, Lufthansa, all these sites with dumb password rules. And it's like, there was one of them I saw that you had to have special characters, but there were some characters that were just too special that you're not allowed to use.
Yes, I've seen that lots of times. It, like, that doesn't make any sense at all.
It doesn't.
It's just a character, man.
What they're worried about there, and let me just tell you, this is getting into the weeds a little bit, but they're worried about an injection flaw in their database program because they're storing those passwords or something like that.
Right.
Because if certain characters you can use, you can confuse the SQL statements that are being used against the database and cause it to eject out and then allow you to execute commands on the database and then dump their database and get all their data, which is some of the ways that sometimes these leaks happen.
Yeah.
But instead, what you could do is just write your stuff a little bit better so that that doesn't matter.
So that this brings up another point. I've been meaning to say this to you for a while. I feel like your breadth of knowledge is just a little too narrow. I feel like you should just know, you should know more things, Sanjay. Like, I feel like, I ask you stuff about technology and it's like, you know, probably 95%, but like, I feel like you should know 98.5%. Like that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's last 3.5% has really been killing me.
It's really disappointing me. It really is. Like, I
need to study up. You're right. I need to go take some certification classes, read some books, know some things.
Oh my gosh,
it's been a bit of a black hole in my life, and I think it might have been created by aliens. But while I figure that out, what do you have for us this week, Adam?
All right, I've got a website for you called Future Tools. It's futuretools.io.
It's made by aliens, isn't it? It's made by aliens.
It's a collection of all of the crazy tools that are coming out. So you can search it, or you can also use checkboxes to be like, oh, I want to know all the tools related to podcasting. And you can see all the tools related to podcasting. And it's got a lot of them. Like, there's a lot of AI podcast stuff out there, or I mean, just really interesting platforms. And some of these are really small and some of them are not, like Adobe Speech Enhancers in here. That's obviously a big company. There's a lot of other small ones. There's Crisp in here, which has been, it's an AI powered noise cancellation, which we've recommended on this show before. But it, like, if you want to find the coolest new future tools, like, this is where it's at right here. I mean, it's got all of them. It's wild to me.
Oh, this is pretty cool, actually.
Yeah. It's got a just ton of stuff in it. It's just wild. So, yeah, anyway, that's all I've got. I'm going to let you veg out on this for a little while. I know that your afternoon is now shot, Sanjay. So
in the meantime,
in the meantime, how can our users find and connect with you? How can listeners find and connect with you? Our
users. We just made them users. Yeah. Users of Tech Talk, y'all.
Yeah.
You can find me at my website, sanjayparekh.com. You can also see me posting every now and again on LinkedIn. So you can follow me there. What about you, Adam?
Just go to my website, adamjwalker.com. It's got links to everything. And sign up for my newsletter because I'm getting out a weekly newsletter. And it's been fun and fantastic, says me. So...
Says me. I just signed up for the Future Tools newsletter.
I gotta get on that. I love that. Yeah. Okay.
And I used my DuckDuckGo email address.
Yes, you did.
Randomly generated to sign up for that.
So that's how we do it.
Protecting me all the way.